you follow along in your Bible, read the word of the Lord. Matthew 5:33 says this, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these comes from the evil one." Father, now as we have considered your word, we ask that your spirit would assist us in understanding and in putting it into practice. And we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the Lord tells us in another place, friends, that men will give account on the day of judgment for every idle word they speak. Now, Jesus says it is by your words, your own words, that you will be justified, or by your own words that you will be condemned. Okay, so here also in this passage, we see something closely related to that, telling us we must very cautiously guard our words. Because the way we talk and the things that we say reflect the content of what's in our heart. Okay, Jesus himself, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Of course, the Word of God has a lot to say about our speech. The particular focus here has to do with our speech as it relates to God himself, as we invoke the name of God. Really, what we're dealing with here in these verses is the third commandment. What's the third commandment? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Okay? And in vain either means emptily or carelessly or deceitfully. Okay? Emptily, carelessly, or deceitfully. And there's another translation that says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Okay? Don't misuse God's name. Now, let me make a distinction here for the purpose of our time between a couple of words that we tend to use more or less interchangeably, but actually, if I could nitpick a little bit, each one of them has its own shade of meaning. When we talk about foul language or inappropriate language, we say that a person curses or that he swears or that he uses obscenities or profanity. Okay, we use those terms more or less to mean the same thing. Strictly speaking, like I said, I'll nitpick a little bit, but strictly speaking, to curse is to call down harm upon someone. Okay, it's the opposite of to bless. Okay, so I wish you ill. I invoke an injury of some kind. I invoke evil upon you. And then obscenity or vulgarity is those wicked words that, you know, we don't say. This sometimes referred to as four-letter words, but they're not obviously all four letters. To swear technically means to bind oneself with an oath, okay? And you know how people casually say, "I swear to God," and things like that, or say, "God is my witness," or so on. Profane, the word profane or profanity, although we use it as a catch-all term for all kinds of bad language, what it really means is to desecrate something that is holy, okay? To take something that is pure and debase it or abuse it or treat it with contempt or defile it, okay? Dishonor it in some way. Now, friends, of course, it should go without saying, really, all unclean language has no place in the mouth of a child of God. Okay, and the scripture tells us not to let any corrupt communication proceed from our mouth. It's unfitting. It is improper for a child of God. Plus, it is offensive to the Spirit of God who dwells in those who believe. Okay? You need the Holy Spirit. You need him every minute of every day. Don't offend him. Okay? Now, I think we all know that we should never utter obscenities, okay? That's sin, and you need to discipline yourself if that's the way you talk even once in a while, or if that's the way you used to talk, well then change, okay? Stop it, repent of it. Govern your tongue, because as Jesus says, you're gonna give account to the Almighty Judge of every careless, useless word that you utter. Okay, God is willing to pardon. Ask him for his pardon, but change. Okay, in addition to that, we also mustn't ever curse. Okay, as I've told you, as I've defined it for you, no cursing, calling down harm upon somebody. And that can be done without using any obscenities. Okay, that's simply by saying things like, you know, I wish you would just drop dead. I hope you choke on that. You know, I hope you catch some kind of disease, things like that. Okay, now, is that permissible just because you didn't choose a word from the forbidden list? No, okay? Remember about the righteousness of the Pharisees. Okay, you're ready to excuse yourself. Is that the Lord's standard, though? Okay, with our tongues, we praise God. Didn't we just do it? Okay, will we also curse men with them? Can bitter water and fresh water come out of the same spring? No, brothers, this should not be. Don't curse men. Okay, now certainly those kinds of things come from the devil. They come from the evil one, and as we've been talking about, they put you in danger of the condemnation of hell. There is another serious danger, though, and that is profanity, as I've described it for you. What is profanity? It's cheapening or defiling something that's holy, okay? Specifically, the name and reputation of the Most High God. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. How does that commandment go on? Do you remember? For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who misuses his name. Okay, the Lord will not hold him guiltless. So back to the text here. What we have Jesus beginning by specifically talking about oaths or vows. Okay, you have heard that it was said to those of old, don't swear falsely. Okay, swearing meaning taking an oath or a vow. Keep your oaths to the Lord. Now let me give you a couple of Old Testament scriptures that pertain to that. One of them we already read. It's twice in Deuteronomy, actually. We read one of them. It says, you shall fear the Lord your God and shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast, and you shall take your oaths in his name. So we see from Deuteronomy that it's not that there's something inherently sinful about taking a vow or taking an oath in and of itself. Otherwise, the Lord would not have told the Israelites to take oaths in his name. Okay, and some people have, on reading the Sermon on the Mount, have taken the Lord's words as expressly forbidding any oath. Okay, even if you should be called to testify in court, that to do so, to swear to tell the whole truth and so on, would be to transgress the will of God. But you have numerous examples in the Old Testament of people taking solemn oaths or vows. For example, you have Abraham charged his servant with an oath that he would not take a wife for Isaac from the Canaanites. But go back to my own country and find, okay, you have Jacob having Joseph swear to him an oath that you're not going to bury me here in Egypt. Take my body back to the grave that Abraham purchased. Joseph, likewise, when he was about to die, last chapter of Genesis, has the children of Israel swear to him. When the Lord comes to visit you someday, take my bones with you and bury them in the grave of my fathers. You have Jonathan, you have Elijah, many other people in the Old Testament who swear, as surely as the Lord lives, Abigail, David, lots of people, Solomon. We have New Testament examples too. On at least seven occasions in the New Testament scriptures, you have Paul saying things like, I call God as my witness that I am not lying, at least seven times. Lord Jesus himself put under oath by the high priest when he was on trial. Okay, the high priest says, I charge you in the name of the living God. Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? Up till that point, Jesus was silent. When charged under an oath, he did answer. Okay, he said, yes, it is as you have said. Okay, he didn't say it's sinful to use oaths in any case. So I hope at least that much is clear. An oath, then, it's one of two things. Either you are affirming that something is true, for example, if you were in court, or you are promising to do something, which that would be more like a vow, okay, an oath or a vow. In the law, we have this in the book of Exodus, and this is the rule for the people of Israel. It's just an example. It's a case law. If a man gives an animal, a donkey or an ox or another animal to his neighbor for safekeeping and it dies or is injured or is stolen, okay, have you ever lent something to somebody and then it got broken? Okay, then the issue will be settled by the taking of an oath before the Lord that the neighbor didn't lay hands on his neighbor's property. Okay, and if the neighbor swears an oath, no, I didn't break it, no, it was stolen, honestly, it was stolen right out of my garage, the owner is to accept this, and there will be no restitution required. Okay, so men take oaths to settle a dispute. Okay, you put an end to the argument, and they swear in front of the Lord that what they're saying is true, and really what you're doing is calling down the retribution of God upon yourself if you're lying. Okay, and people say things like, may God strike me dead. And you see that in the Old Testament also. Lots of people, may the Lord do so to me and more also, if whatever I say is not true. Okay, and so of course, it is wickedness to call upon the name of the Lord to solemnly affirm your words when you're lying. Okay, you stole something, you did wrong. Okay, I really did hide my neighbor's lawnmower in the barn and I'm just pretending it was stolen. Okay, and you swear to God that you didn't do it because the other person has no way to prove. He has to take you at your word and you take a false oath before the Lord so that you can get away with it something. Okay, I'm sure you know this takes place all over the world in courtrooms and in depositions every single day. Lies are told under oath. There is a greater judge to fear. He is going to call men to account for every single useless word, every false word they utter. You have abused the Lord's name. You have taken it in vain by using it to practice deception. And then also people take oaths, you'd say they make a vow to perform some deed, or maybe to give a gift. Okay, you give a pledge, for example. Abraham and Jacob and Joseph, that's what they were doing. They were extracting a promise from someone, solemnly bind them in the name of the Lord that they would do what they're told to do, or else they're going to face the indignation of God. So you see in the Old Testament again, for example, in one of the Psalms, the psalmist says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his kindness to me? I will take up the cup of salvation, I will call upon the Lord's name, and I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people." Okay, so you can make a voluntary vow to give a gift or to do something in the name of the Lord. And again, you see a couple of instances in the New Testament. You see Paul, there's a place where he shaved his head to call it was the end of the resolution of a vow he had taken. Not that he would shave his head, but that was the shows that he had kept his vow. And then there's some disciples also in the book of Acts who take a vow. So something that is taken reverently in the name of God and an acknowledgement of his both his sovereignty and his ultimate justice, it's not sinful, it's not blasphemous. In fact, it's appropriately submissive to take a vow. You take a wedding vow, for example. Okay? That's a solemn occasion. You stand before the Lord, same with even in any court case, if you go up and solemnly swearing to tell the truth in the pursuit of finding justice, that's an important matter to God, that there be justice among men. It's not offensive to him. So in fact, he says in a couple of the prophets that in that day, that glorious day that's to come, for example, he says in Jeremiah, "If you will return to me, O Israel, and put your abominations away, then you shall never be moved, and you shall swear, as surely as the Lord lives, in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and also the Gentile nations will bless themselves in his name, they'll invoke his name, and in him they shall glory." Okay, so Jeremiah is looking ahead to an ultimate day of righteousness. In Isaiah, it's chapter 45, the Lord says, "I have sworn by myself, and the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it will not be revoked, that to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall take an oath." Every tongue shall take an oath. Okay, that's an interesting verse, because the Lord himself takes an oath, and he says his people will make voluntary vows too someday in righteousness. All right, so all that being said, then what is the Lord trying to get at here in Matthew 5? As we've seen before, this has to do with man's inherent tendency to commit sin. Okay, and this particular terrible sin is that men profane the name of God. Okay, they profane his name, and they do it often, and they do it unthinkingly. You know, there are other ways to misuse the name of God that are much more subtle than the outright breaking of a sacred vow. So we need to, I think we really need to consider this, brothers and sisters. Again, he starts with the common understanding. This has been his practice we've seen so far in the previous sections. The common understanding first. You've heard it said, don't break your oath, keep the oaths you make to the Lord. And certainly that much is true. Can we agree, Christians, if you make a promise to the Lord, you have to keep your promise? That's right out of the scriptures. Okay, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, Deuteronomy again, you shall not delay to pay it, for he will surely require it of you, and that would be sin to you. Okay, if you don't vow, it would not be sin. But that which has gone out of your lips, you shall keep and perform, because you voluntarily vowed it to the Lord your God, which you promised with your mouth. Okay, and so Ecclesiastes says also, be careful what you promise. Okay, don't be in such a big hurry to make promises to God. Don't be rash with your mouth, and don't utter anything hastily before God, because God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. A fool is known by his many words. So when you make a vow to God, again he says, don't delay to pay it, because God doesn't take pleasure in fools. Pay what you vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Okay? Don't let your mouth lead your flesh into sin. Don't say later on, I made a mistake when I vowed. Oh boy, don't we hear that a lot. Okay? Oh, I didn't mean it. I wasn't thinking clearly. I changed my mind. That was then, this is now, so no, I'm not going to do it. Okay? Why should God, Ecclesiastes goes on, why should God be angry with your excuses and destroy the work of your hands? In the multitude of dreams and many words, there's this word, vanity. There's vanity. Instead, fear God. Now, I'm sorry to say that there seems to be not very much fear of God, even among some of his people. Okay, we make many promises, and do I even have to mention marriage vows? Okay, we make lots of promises, make commitments, and then break your word. Do you know that Scripture teaches us that we scoff at God when we do that? Okay, we blaspheme his name to say, oh, it was all a mistake. My vow was a mistake. My marriage was a mistake. Okay, vows of any kind. That's why they tell you at the beginning of the wedding ceremony, this is not a laughing matter. Okay, vows of any kind are not to be entered into lightly. You risk taking the name of the Lord in vain. Okay, in hasty words, there is vanity. Okay, don't let your mouth write a check that you won't be able to cash in the future. Understand? Because God is going to judge you by your own words. So certainly, at least minimally, we have to have that level of the fear of God. Okay? We don't trifle with him. He can destroy the work of your hands. That's what Ecclesiastes said. So think about all that you labor for, your health, your home, your family, your career. They all rely on the grace of God to continue, don't they? Don't put him to the test. Okay? He will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. All right, that's the common understanding. Jesus says certainly that much is true, but he also, as has been his practice, goes beyond the common use of the principle. Because as with the other commandments, we see that it was subject to abuse and misinterpretation. Now, the Pharisees came up with this very complex system of when is your promise really binding on you and when can you sort of, to use a modern term, weasel out of it. Okay, when is it not really binding? And he really rips them for this in Matthew chapter 23. If you swear an oath by the temple, by God's temple, it's not binding. But if you swear by the gold on the temple, then it is. He says, you hypocrites. Okay, if you swear by the altar, it's not binding. But if you swear by the gift that's on the altar, it is. Okay, how that you profane the name of God. You make a mockery of God, and he calls them fools and blind. Woe to you, you hypocrites. How dare you? Okay, do you remember what we said about the Pharisees? They're looking for loopholes in the law. They're, you know, excuses to justify, in this case, your lie, or you're reneging on your promise. Okay, where there isn't a loophole, you sort of make a loophole so that you can break your word and still say, no, I didn't sin, because I only swore by the altar and not by the gift on the altar. Okay, do you see, these men did not utter obscenities. It's not curse words. They're still guilty of profaning the name of the Lord because they make a mockery of his reputation. Okay, you can swear by the temple and still not keep your word. Okay, look, disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to dignify the glorious name by which we are called by never being guilty of falsehood ever at all. Okay, the holy name of God is blasphemed by outsiders because of lying hypocrites, okay, because of so-called Christians who they found out went back on their word, didn't keep up their end of the bargain, they were untrustworthy, half-truth tellers, something like that, okay? And haven't you ever used this excuse that, yes, I said I was going to do it, but I didn't promise that I was going to do it, so really you should let me off the hook because I didn't promise that I would do it. Shame on you, okay? Sometimes I do lie, but if I say I swear, then I'm telling the truth and you can really trust me, okay? Only if you say I swear, okay? You're a Christian, okay? You better fear God. Oh, that's right, there you go, cross your fingers. Okay, I had my fingers crossed, okay? He is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. Remember which one of you is the powerful one and it isn't you. Jesus is telling us it's wrong, okay? It's all wrong. It's beyond wrong. What is your plain and simple duty to God? It's to be truthful and trustworthy all the time. And if you can't be believed without having to say, oh, I swear, okay, what does that say about you? What does it say about you as a disciple of the true and living God? Okay, what do you call a person who tells lies? You're a liar. And where is the place of liars? You know what the scripture says. You know where the place of liars is. Okay? And so some people say, well, I know it's wrong to say, I swear to God. I won't, you know, I don't want to use his name in vain, so I'll swear by something else. And that's here what you see the Pharisees are doing. And in fact, in their way, they're trying to protect the sacredness of the name of God, almost out of superstition, that this is a word too holy to utter. And to utter the name of God would be to defile the name of God, so we will swear by heaven instead. Hey, everybody knows what you mean, but I didn't say the word God, I didn't say swear to God, so we'll swear by heaven, or we'll swear by Jerusalem, or by the temple. Okay, people today, what do they swear on? Swear on my mother's grave. Upon my life, they say. Look at what Jesus says. That's a useless dodge. You swear by heaven, heaven belongs to God. That's his throne. You are swearing by God. And the earth too. That's the Lord's and the fullness of it. What about your mother's grave? Okay, your mother's grave is under the authority of God. He is going to open up that grave someday and your mother will be raised from the dead for better or for worse. It's under his control. Okay, your own head. That's not under your control. You didn't make it. You don't keep it alive. You couldn't sustain it if it wasn't the will of God. He upholds the whole universe, okay, by the word of his power. And don't swear by Jerusalem. This is the one I love. Why not? It's the city of the great king. Jesus is talking about, this is so awesome to me, he's talking about himself ahead of time. Who's the great king? He is the great king. Okay, you go back and read Psalm 48, which we read this morning. He's the king to come. At this point, who is he? He's a carpenter's son, sitting on a hillside with some of his countrymen around him. That's what you think. No, it's the city of the great king, beautiful in elevation, Mount Zion, the joy of the whole world, the city of the Lord of hosts, which he will establish forever. Oh, Jerusalem, says Jesus, if only you had known the things that would have made for your peace, but now you will see me no more. until Jesus is coming again. Okay, he's coming. The great king. He's the great king. Don't you swear by my city. Okay, is Jerusalem yours to give if your word should prove false? No. Do you have any power over heaven and earth? No. God is in heaven. You're down here on earth. Remember who the ruler is. Remember who's the great king. He will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Okay? Brothers, every single one of your words, let it be without deceit. When you say yes, mean it. Yes, I will do it. Yes, it is true. When you say no, mean no. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, well, then be a man of your word. Half truths are out. Crossing your fingers is out. Carefully constructed sentences so you can weasel out of it later, no. Okay? You should be a man or a woman whose word is as good as gold. And if you can't say yes or no, if you're not sure, I don't know if I'll be able to do it, well, just say so. Okay? Circumstances change. If the Lord is willing, I will do, I will try. Say something like that. But having to swear, okay, having to invoke God over every trivial thing, well, that's just it. It trivializes God. Okay? And that is why, as he says, it's from the evil one. That's surprising words, isn't it? It's from the evil one. Okay, well, why? Well, it's because the Most High God, the Eternal One, he becomes this cheap little, like, get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, I can say anything, and as long as I swear to God, you won't bother me about it. Okay? Whenever you speak to do something, or to affirm that you're telling the truth, or whenever you make any statement, brothers and sisters, don't you realize you are involving God in the process? Okay? Because you wear the name of Christian. Okay? How can you profane that beautiful name, that matchless name of Jesus? Absolute truthfulness and honesty and reliability, that is the only way to comply with godliness. Scripture says there is no fellowship, none, between truth and falsehood. Now, the Bible also says you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, right? The city of the great king. Keep his name holy. Our Father deserves dignity. He deserves solemnity. He deserves reverence. And I would add that revering the Lord's name goes beyond these matters, goes beyond just being truthful, just being a person of your word. But also, we don't tell jokes about sacred things. You know, it's not proper to tell Jesus and Moses were playing golf one day, kind of jokes. Do you get me? St. Peter at the pearly gates, kind of jokes. It doesn't reflect a fear of God. And it makes the world, you see, it serves the devil's purpose by making the world laugh and shrug and ha-ha and roll their eyes at matters of eternal life. And, you know, I wonder how many millions of people who wear crosses as jewelry or whatever, or people who make the sign of the cross, how many of them profane God by the lives they live, okay? The Son of God died on that cross. What does the cross mean to you? Is it something really just to treat casually? The other thing I would just ask you to think about is, as we bid each other good day, I would just ask you to think about how even Christians sometimes use the name of God unthinkingly without guarding his honor. And that is this. You know, any time you're surprised, you know, oh, Lordy, oh, dear Jesus, people say, oh, my God, okay? Or you hear something terrible in the news today, say, oh, dear Jesus, oh, Lord, help us, something like that. Or God only knows, Lord knows. Look, I know you're not using it as a curse word. I know you would never profane the name of Jesus out of anger, but it's still profane if you think about it, okay? It's in vain that it's just empty, you know? It's pointless. It's just, you're not really calling upon the Lord. You're just filling space, you know? It's just an expression, okay? Just to say, oh, Lord, have mercy, or Lordy, Lord, things like that. Just stop that, all right? It's are you really calling on God? Okay, it just seems to me that casual use of the Lord and names like Jesus just contributes to the world's careless and irreverent attitude toward God, where when even God's people just sort of thoughtlessly toss his name around. Okay, unbelievers use the name of the Lord to curse in anger. We would never want to do that, of course, but I think we can still cheapen it by flooding our conversation with these kind of irreverent appeals to God. Just something to think about, I think. You know, say, Lord knows, or, you know, in Jesus' name, God help us, and things like that. You might say they're harmless. I really think that it serves the purpose of the evil one to trivialize God in the eyes of us. It makes him common, okay? Just want to think about how cheapening the name of God and of Christ and of the Father serves the evil one's purposes. So the law says this: you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to each other, you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. I am that I am, the living one, the first and the last, the Almighty. Okay? And the prophet Zechariah says, in that day, the Lord will be the king over all the earth, and his name, the only name. Think about, oh, it's going to be great. What glory the Lord Jesus and the Father will receive when he comes. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. May your name be praised forever. Now remember who you are, saints. Remember the grace of God towards you. He's in heaven, you're on earth. I want you to resolve, I will not sin with my lips, and I will not profane the name of my God. Let's pray. Almighty Father, indeed you are truly worthy of all respect, honor, reverence, dignity, love, affection, devotion. I almost dare not open my mouth, Lord God, because you are the most high and wonderful God. And we bow our hearts to you, Lord. We ask for your mercy upon us. We pray, Lord, that you would set a guard over our lips and the hearts that are behind them. May we love you 24 hours a day. May we always remember, Father, your mercies toward us. May we remember what you have called us out of and what you have called us unto. And we will continue, Lord, to rejoice in our salvation. We will lift up the name of the Lord Jesus and love him and honor him. And most of all, Lord God, you, the King of the ages, the Creator of all, merciful, compassionate, most high God, we worship you. May your name be magnified and praised in us forever and ever. Amen.